Juan Miller was a pastor in Texas who got struck down by a virus that left him with hardly any voice. He consulted over 200 doctors, including 63 specialists, but there was no improvement. Unsurprisingly, he had to step down from his role as pastor and find a job that didn't use his voice. Juan and his family eventually ended up as members of a large church in Houston. And one Sunday, a Bible study teacher wasn't able to teach because of illness. And knowing Duan's background, the church asked him to teach the class. He was hesitant at first, but eventually he agreed. He used a special microphone that would be able to pick up whatever sound he was able to produce. And the scheduled lesson for this Bible study class was from Psalm 103. You can actually listen to this story on YouTube. Duan comes to the psalm. He comments on Isaiah 53, which is one of our readings today. So let me read again Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Speaking of the suffering servant, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. And so Juan continued in his scratchy voice. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry, that's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. He then went on and he paraphrased the first four verses of Psalm 103. And in his very scratchy voice, he said, "So the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all my diseases." And in verse 4, he says, "And he redeems me from the pit." Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I've had, and you've had, pit experiences, and emotion just overtook him. The Lord had healed his voice on the spot as he read those scriptures. Friends, there is physical healing in the atonement. And you can listen to this amazing healing encounter yourself, but because the Bible study meeting was being recorded, simply go to YouTube and search Duane, D-U-A-N-E, Miller video. Such healings amaze us. But we actually shouldn't be incredulous, because God self-describes himself as the Lord who heals you. It's in Exodus 15. Let me read from verse 22. "Then Moses ordered Israel to set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That is why it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he put them to the test. He said," verse 26, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. Don't miss that verse 26. This is revelation. God the Father self-describes himself as Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Healing is inseparable from who God is. God himself names himself as our healer. And in this Sunday series entitled Releasing Spiritual Gifts, today we come to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, to one of the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And it's described as gifts of healings. It's a double plural. That is, there are many healing gifts. Perhaps there's one for every kind of sickness and disease. We're going to focus on gifts of healings over the next three Sundays. Every believer has views on this topic of healing. Why? Because we're all impacted by sicknesses. Because we have either personally had or we've heard stories about answers to prayer for healing. And also likely we know cases where it appears that healing prayers were not answered, at least in this life. Now, this topic is both broad, it's deep, and even in 3 weeks there are obvious limitations as to what we can cover. But I want to give you an outline of the 3 weeks so you know where we're heading. So today, week one, the focus is on what God reveals in Scripture about his response to sickness. Week two, I want to equip us all to confidently pray for those who are sick. So we're going to look at the so-called five-step prayer model and look at the difference between petition prayers and command prayers. And in the third week, consider some of the complexities, of which there are many. For example, are there barriers that prevent healing, that hinder it? What do we do about doctors? Is Jesus in his earthly ministry really the model for us to pattern ourselves by? So it's my prayer that as we go through this 3 week mini series, that you will understand God's will for healing. And that will motivate you to respond positively, obediently to Jesus' commission to all of his disciples to heal the sick. And that you'll be equipped to step out in faith and the power of the Holy Spirit to do just that. So today, get God right. It always makes sense to understand God and his ways for every matter, for every issue. My life experiences teach me, and especially when it comes to healing, that it is critical to know God's will regarding healing. What we believe and how we minister must be based on the authoritative word of God. And there are just so many factors at play, aren't there? The world is broken, and these bodies of ours are sometimes born with parts that are not fully operative. And regardless of disease and sickness, there is an aging in our bodies that actually begins the moment that we're born. We also make decisions that are often harmful to our health, and other people take actions that can be harmful to our health. And on top of all of that, the kingdom of darkness has a special hatred for mankind because we are image bearers of the divine. And the kingdom of God has come. It is now, but has not come yet in its fullness. So you might go, wow, it's all a bit too hard. I'm going to go and take a nana nap and perhaps have a Panadol. If you're a disciple of Jesus, and that means by definition and necessity that we live our lives under Jesus' lordship, then you can't take a detour around the Lord's instruction to heal the sick. Jesus is explicit that his disciples are to heal the sick, to be agents of divine healing, whether that's spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing. I am committed to being at the Lord's disposal to bring healing to others. Why is that? Because Jesus is my Lord and he is the healer. Also because I'm motivated by love and compassion for those who are hurting. Thirdly, I'm driven by obedience to the Lord who gave his life for me. And fourthly, I'm driven by the revelation of God's intention for us to prosper and for us to be well, which is so clearly revealed in Scripture. The ministry of healing is an integral part of extending the kingdom of God. And friends, that is the name of the game. Healing is about the kingdom coming now. It is the Lord's goodness and power being made manifest. It's his love and compassion being made manifest in the now. Healing is light dispelling the darkness. As disciples of Jesus, we are light bearers. We are bonded to, we are united to the one who is light. And Jesus does not mince words about the state of play. In John 10:10, this is what he says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Wow, what a contrast. Satan seeks to take away from life and joy. But in total contrast, Jesus came to give life, an abundant life. Sickness arises from the work of Satan in the world. The serpent tempted our first parents, and they forsook their allegiance to the living God, and the results were and are disastrous. So, what does God the healer do? He comes as healer in the total sense of that word. Look at how Jesus' ministry is summarized in Acts 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There is an underlying problem of sin that Satan brought into the world. And so, in the sense of the fall, we could say that all sickness is from the devil. But not that every single sickness someone has comes because it's actually being caused by a demon. The healing that Jesus brought is designed to undo the works that the devil has wrought. What were those works? To destroy us emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So 1 John 3:8. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And that word destroy is a very strong word in the original. It's the sense of annihilating. He came to annihilate the works of the devil. Jesus' purpose was to undo all of those different ways, all of those routes of access in our lives that Satan seeks to exploit, to afflict us and damage us. And I know here at Oak Tree that we've got some Smith Wigglesworth fans. So hear this great quote from Smith Wigglesworth. He goes, as far as people go, my heart is full of love and compassion for all. But I fail to see how you will ever reach a place where God will be able to use you until you get angry at the devil. And Smith Wigglesworth and Andrew Womack, both very successful ministers of healing, said that you've got to get to the place where you hate sickness and disease. They say you need to take a stand against sickness just as much as you take a stand against sin. So friends, whatever you're struggling with today, whether it is spiritual, emotional, physical, come now with an expectant heart as we get stuck into what God says in his word about healing. Who knows? We might have a Joanne Miller moment. Or perhaps we'll have a dozen of those situations. So come with expectant hearts. If we're going to fulfill the destiny that God has for us individually and as a church, we must be absolutely convinced in our heads of these key truths and then let these truths touch the very core of our being. Truths like this: God is good and he never deviates from goodness. He cannot be other than good. God is the God of healing. He names himself Yahweh Rapha. God provides for our healing. How does he do it? Jesus came to take away sins. Sickness and infirmities are rooted in the sin that came to us at the fall. And Jesus comes to reverse the effect of sin and take away our sickness. So let Exodus 15:26 rest deep, deep inside you. I am the Lord who heals you. And then let Isaiah 53 sit just as deeply in your inner person. Let me read verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he, and it's referring to the suffering servant, this is a prophecy made 800 years before the coming of the Messiah, which was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Surely he has borne our infirmities. If you're reading the NIV, it's translated as pain. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. That word born has this sense. It's the sense of lift off, to carry off. It includes the idea of wiping away. You might remember when we went through 1 John and in the early part of chapter 2, we talked about expiation in relation to the atonement. It's the idea of wiping away or covering over. And this is what Isaiah is referring to. So when Jesus bore, or in the NIV, took up these things, he carried them away in the sense that it has been wiped off. So what did this Messiah, who was regarded so poorly, in your own time you might want to go back and just read verses 1 to 3, what was it that he lifted up? What was it that he carried off? What was it that he wiped away? Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6 are the crown jewels of what is included in the atonement. So Isaiah gives us a list. He took away our infirmities. And the Hebrew word that's used there could be translated afflictions, diseases, sicknesses. So he took away our infirmities. He carried, and the sense there is of bearing a burdensome load. So Jesus took all that weighed us down and carried away our diseases, meaning the physical pain and the mental pain of sufferings. These could be literally people who could be physically sick or who suffer mental pain. And Isaiah goes on in verse 4, he took up our sickness, bore our physical and mental pains, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. That is, the context of Isaiah 53 is that when this suffering servant was dying on the cross, we thought he was dying for his own sins. But get this, really get this. He was actually carrying our sicknesses and pains and diseases and sins on the cross. And so Isaiah goes on, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. And the word means violations that we have knowingly committed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed. Think of a stone being shattered. He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities, stronger again than transgressions. Perversities, depravities, guilt, gross evil doing. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, scourging, stripes, we are healed. When Jesus dies on the cross and he pays for our sins, everything that we need for life and godliness was paid for. And in that sense, there is healing in the atonement, because healing is part of God's restoration. Healing has been available, made available to us, and it is fully available. What this means is I don't have to say, "Oh God, is it your will to heal?" No, no. My confidence is it is his desire. It is his revealed will, paid for at the cross. Isn't that magnificent? Yeah, but maybe someone could be thinking this. Okay, I accept there's healing in the cross. We will be healed in heaven. If you're thinking that, that's true. Fully healed. But Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God in the now. Matthew 8 begins with Jesus healing the man with leprosy. You might want to turn there. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. So he begins with healing the man with leprosy and then healing the paralyzed servant of the centurion, and then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And straight after that, we read in verse 14. That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. Now, remember, Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. They would have known of Isaiah 53. It's the longest explanation of the atonement in the whole of the Old Testament. And Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives us the correct interpretation of Isaiah 53, verse 4, and it's in verse 17 of Matthew 8. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Matthew is declaring that Isaiah 53, 4 to 6 really means that the death of Jesus was meant to encompass not only our sins, but also our sicknesses and our infirmities, that is, our weaknesses and frailties of body. I love the way that Ken Fish sums this up in the bulletin, the church bulletin. Look out for a free online short healing course that Ken is presently offering from Orbis Ministries. Ken sums this up and he goes, many Christians have been taught that Jesus came to take away their sins. But what they may not understand is that sickness and infirmity are both rooted in the sin that comes from the fall of mankind. Jesus doesn't just reverse sin, he reverses the effects of sin. And with this understanding, we can have confidence as we pray that healing is available. On many occasions when I've taught this passage, Ken says, people in the audience have stood up to declare that they have been healed, with conditions as wide-ranging as sciatica and injured backs, to headaches, to paralyzed legs, to thyroid conditions, to cancer. Faith rises in our hearts when our understanding aligns with the teaching of Scripture. We often pray for people by placing our hands on them. But there are times when people are healed because they understand that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Friends, this is a big salvation. This is a powerful salvation. And God offers it to all because he loves us. But perhaps the skeptic who knows a little of my life might ask this. Okay, Rod, so how did all this work out for you, Pastor, with your wife and youngest child? So here's what my answer would be. Oh, I've seen God's mighty hand of healing in both of their lives. Yeah, their healing is now complete. They're in a state of ecstatic joy in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. But in this life, yes, in this life, with serious sickness impacting both of them, divine healing was experienced and witnessed. In my late wife's case, I received medical information after her promotion to glory that her particular leukemia would have been expected to kill her 3 years after diagnosis. She actually lived 10 years from that first diagnosis, and those extra 7 years were precious for the other children in the family and the significant ministry that she had in many people's lives. What about Brendan? Well, at 6 years of age, a thoracic consultant at the hospital doubted that he would get to 12. Brendan went home to glory at 27. And let me tell you, it was nothing short of a miracle that his respiratory system functioned for so long in such a disabled body. And his life was a stunning witness of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and overflowing love. More than that, the Lord revealed to me just before his promotion to glory that Brendan had exercised a stunning intercessory prayer ministry. Yep, Brendan. With disabilities longer than your arm. That's right. When the enemy threw the kitchen sink at me as I sought to live out the full commission of Jesus, Brendan was interceding. The Lord healed his lungs and he more than doubled what was regarded as his life expectancy. So I know the healing power of Jesus. But what I actually stand on is what God has revealed in his word and what Jesus commissions me to do as his disciple. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a disciple of the one who is the healer. Yep, the kingdom is still to come in its fullness. Yes, these bodies will die. But healing now gives us a taste of what is to come. It is purchased in the sufferings and death of Jesus applied to our account. Isaiah literally says, at the cost of his wounds, there is healing for us. And as well as spiritual healing, that includes emotional and physical healing. So what do I do practically? I go to the Lord as if it was a promise. If I don't receive it all in this age, I recognize that I don't receive all of the benefits of the cross in this world. But I don't want to sit back pretending that all of my questions one day are going to be answered. No. The call is for me, for you, for every disciple to get on our bikes and follow Jesus' commission, bringing his power, his love, his care, the compassion of a magnificent God, Yahweh Rapha, to a very hurting world. Let me invite you to pray with me. Let's just take a moment of silence as the Lord speaks to us. I've included the words of this prayer in the supplementary notes to the message which have been emailed out with the service order. Let me pray. Lord God, we proclaim you as Yahweh Rapha. You are the Lord who heals. Lord Jesus, not only do you desire to heal, but in your sufferings and death on the cross, you carried our diseases. We declare the truth of your word, that by your bruises we are healed, and we appropriate that truth by faith. Heavenly Father, help us to have obedient hearts, oceans of faith, and abounding love for this broken world. We want to be your instruments in order for your will to be done on earth as in heaven. Holy Spirit, come. Manifest your glorious presence through Oak Tree, through every member of our church family. Bless me, bless us with gifts of healings, not just for our own health, but for destroying the works of the devil and extending the kingdom. We pray that every person we speak healing over would see that you are good, that you are mighty in power, that you care deeply for them, and that they would turn to you in repentance and faith. And we pray in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.